Now, Peter and John. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the Beautiful Gate at the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Grace. I love grace. Isn't grace amazing? I love to sing Amazing Grace. Anybody else love that one? Yeah, I've been singing that my entire life. You would think that after a while, you'd be like, okay, let's move on to something new. And there are a lot of great new songs that I really love. But then we sing Amazing Grace, and I remember, wow, what a great song. Amazing Grace. And yet at times, grace is also a little bit confusing. How does it work? What am I supposed to be doing? How does all of that fit together? And that's why I love to find these beautiful pictures in Scripture of the grace of God. And that's exactly what we have here in Acts chapter 3 with the healing of this lame man. If you're using a Pew Bible, page 911 is where we are this morning at this healing of the lame man in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. What a powerful picture of the grace of God. And I just want us to walk through this and see if we can learn some things this morning about what it means to be saved by the grace of God, what it means to be healed by the grace of God. I want us to examine this portrait of God's grace that we find in Acts chapter 3 and 4. Peter himself, in Acts chapter 4, when he's defending this miracle and what's happened here, he demonstrates to us that this miracle story, this miracle account, this healing actually mirrors and pictures salvation. I want you to notice what it says here in Acts chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. This is when Peter and John have been called before the council. Defend what you've done. Isn't that amazing? They just healed a guy. And the council, rather than saying, hey, tell us what we should be doing and how we should live, they want, okay, defend yourselves. That blows my mind. But Peter gives this defense. He says, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, this man is standing before you well. I don't expect you to remember the Greek word for healed here. I just have it on the screen and it's English transliteration, sozo. That's the word. And the reason why I have that pointed out to you is because he says, look, this is how this man has been healed. Then in verse 12, notice what he says. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's the same word. We miss it in our English translations. We get the idea that healing and saving might be two different things, but it's not. It's the exact same word. He says, you asking me about how this crippled man is standing right now, how he's walking and leaping and praising God? I'll tell you how. It's by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. That is how this man is saved. That is how this man is healed. In fact, Peter says, there is no other name under heaven by which anyone can be healed, by which anyone can be saved. Peter is pointing out to us that salvation, healing, these healing stories, in fact, I would claim that almost every healing story that we have in the New Testament is a salvation story. We can learn from these healing stories lessons about our salvation, about what it means to be healed by Jesus Christ, what it means to be saved by Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to learn today. Because you see, today, I want us to learn to walk like a healed Christian. I want us to see this was a healed man, and what he needed to do was walk like a healed man. He was healed by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We too have been healed. We have been saved. We have been delivered by the name of Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at this portrait, this picture, and understand that. Before we break that down, would you please bow with me in prayer? Glorious God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the saving power of Jesus Christ. We know that there is salvation, there is healing, no place else. So we turn to Jesus. We surrender our lives to Him. We bow our knees before Him as King, as Lord, as Judge, as Savior. We are so thankful that you have provided forgiveness and healing and strength and the power and ability to walk hand in hand with you by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I know that there are folks in this audience this morning who have not been healed by Jesus yet, who are holding off, who are waiting. Maybe they've never heard the gospel. Maybe they have, and they're still trying to figure it out. Father, I pray that as we understand your healing power by the blood of your Son, that hearts will be moved this morning to reach up and grab him by the hand, to allow his healing, to surrender to him in baptism, being immersed and allowing their sins to be washed away. And there are those who are here this morning that have done that, but have stumbled and fallen, and they're hearing Satan whisper in their ears that it's no point in getting back up. I pray that we will all have the strength and the confidence in you and your Son and your Holy Spirit to walk like healed Christians. And may none of us atrophy. May we use the strength and the power that you're giving us to bring glory and honor to you, because you are our great and amazing God. You have healed us. Strengthen us to walk like it. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son we pray. Amen. As we take a look at this story in Acts chapter 3, I think there's several lessons that we learn from this. And I just want to walk through them as we're looking at the different shades and the different aspects of this portrait that God has painted for us by the pen of Luke. I want us to learn some lessons. And the very first thing that we need to understand is that the goal of healing is to walk. The goal of healing by God's grace is to walk. The goal of salvation by God's grace is to walk. You see, I think one of the reasons we have all of these debates regarding salvation by grace is that we are confused oftentimes about what the goal of salvation is. I want to say something, and I think it's going to be a little bit shocking to you, but I want you to don't dismiss it immediately because it sounds so shocking. Let it sink in for just a moment and think about this. Here's what I want you to recognize. When Peter healed this man, the goal of healing this man was not to get him home. The goal was to get him walking. You catch that? The goal of healing this man was not to get him home. The goal was to get him walking. Now, what can walking people do? Walking people can get home, right? But the goal was to get this man walking, not to get him home. Now, I want you to think about this. Salvation. The goal of salvation is not to get us to heaven. The goal is to get us walking. Now, what do walking people do? Walking people get home. Walking people get to heaven. But the goal is not to get us to heaven. The goal is to get us walking. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, here's what Paul wrote about being saved by the grace of God. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What is the goal of salvation? The goal of the salvation is that God has created some good works, and He wants us to walk in those good works. The goal of the salvation is not to get us to heaven. The goal is to get us walking. Now, walking people get home. But the goal is to get us walking. In fact, Paul comes back to this in Ephesians 5 times. In the latter half of Ephesians, I just want to walk through some passages with you. Remember, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says, He's recreating us so we can walk. So we can walk. Chapter 4, verse 1, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Chapter 4 and verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Chapter 5 and verse 2. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Chapter 5 and verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. He is concerned about our walk, and the goal of salvation, the goal of healing, is to get us walking. Please understand, I don't start walking and then get saved. So that's what a lot of people are waiting on. A lot of people are waiting on, I got to get my walk right. And when I get my walk right, then I'll turn to God and get saved. Could you imagine Peter turning to this man and say, look, if you start walking, I'll heal you. No, it wouldn't work like that. The goal of the healing is to empower us to walk. We just have to understand that. What's the goal? The goal of salvation is not to get us home. The goal of salvation is to get us walking. Walking people go home. But the goal is to get us walking. Understand this, though. Healing does require a faith-filled response. If you still got your Bibles open there to Acts chapter 3. Let's go back and look at that story. Page 911 again, if you're in the pew Bible. Acts chapter 3. In verse 4, Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Now guys, I want you to walk through this. If you're like me, you've read through this story dozens of times and just breeze right through this. I want us to stop and break this down for a second. In fact, what I want you to do is I want you to put yourself in the shoes of this man who can't walk. They're pristine shoes. They've not ever been scuffed. Put yourself in his pristine shoes. You've been sitting there for years begging money from people as they walk by. You've wanted to walk for years. Who knows how long ago it was that you gave up on trying to walk. And now some guy comes up to you and says, no, I'm not going to give you any money, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he sticks out his hand to try to grab yours. What are you going to do in that moment? I know exactly what I'm going to do. Dude, what is your problem? I've been sitting here my whole life, and you're going to come in here, I need some money, you're going to tell me to get up and walk? Who do you think you are? Joker? But that's not what he did. See, that's the natural reaction. The natural reaction is, dude, come on, man, quit messing around with me. Quit messing around with me. Either give me some money or move on. You're distracting all the other people. But that's not what he does. Peter reaches out and takes him by the hand. And I want you to understand, this is not a deadlift. This is not Peter reaching under his shoulders and lifting him up. What you need to see here is that this man is reacting in faith. If you get this picture in your mind, seeing what's happening here, we've got a fellow who his entire life has been unable to walk. But when Peter says, get up and walk in the name of Jesus, and sticks out his hand, this man tries again. And he takes that hand. Guys, I want you to see, this is a faith-filled response. If he had slapped Peter's hand away, which is what I probably would have done, if he had called Peter some choice names and asked him to move on, which is what a lot of people would do, do you know how much walking this man would have done? None. None. But what we have is a faith-filled response. Please understand that healing, salvation requires a faith-filled response. Jesus has brought his hand down. He is saying to you, get up and walk. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to save you. He is reaching down to grab your hand, and what we must do is reach up and grab his hand. How do we do that? Well, I'll tell you what the scripture says. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." Same word, by the way. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias says to Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, "What are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins," calling on his name. Salvation requires a faith-filled response. And we're shown in Scripture what that faith-filled response is. In the healing of this man, he had to take Peter's hand. And it wasn't until he took Peter's hand and Peter lifted him up that his ankles were strengthened. I want us to recognize it takes a faith-filled response. Have you responded in faith? Not just, "Hey, yeah, I kind of agree with this stuff, but I'm going to reach up and I'm going to take his hand. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to let my sins be washed away. I'm going to get up and rise up and walk." That's what I'm going to do. It takes a faith-filled response. But understand this. God's power accomplishes the healing. Is there any one of us that thinks that what accomplished the healing was this man's faith-filled response? That because he took Peter's hand, that was such a powerful act that the man healed himself? Do any of us think that? Well, no, of course not. Who healed this man? God healed this man. Would he have been healed without the faith-filled response? No, of course not. Of course not. But he wasn't healed by the faith-filled response. It's not the power of the faith-filled response. It's the power of God that healed him in that faith-filled response. So I want you to think about this. If we refuse to be baptized for the remission of our sins, will we be saved? No, we will not. We will not. But it's not faith in baptism that saves us. It's not faith in us and how awesome we are by getting baptized that saves us. It is faith in the powerful working of God. Look at what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2. I think this is so profound. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, "In him," that is in Jesus, "you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism." Notice buried with him in baptism. There's a reason, guys, why it's buried. Why when they talk about baptism, they talk about it looking like a burial. Because it looks like a burial. When we are baptized the way they were baptized in the Bible, it looks like a burial. It looks like being put completely under the ground and then a complete resurrection, in which you were also raised with him through faith. What? In the water? No. In me because I did something? No. In the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. What is it that saves us when we're baptized? God saves us when we're baptized. Will we be saved without the faith-filled response? Absolutely not. But what saves us in the faith-filled response is not us and our awesomeness, it's God and his awesomeness. It is not us and our power, it's not us and our ability, it's God and his power and his ability. And when we are baptized for the remission of our sins, it is putting faith in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, because there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved, by which we can be healed. Understand, you want to know the one who is working when we get baptized? It's not the person who's getting baptized that's working. It's not the person who's doing the baptizing that's working. It is God through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit that's doing the work. God is the one that's doing the saving. We need to remember that. How are we healed by God's grace? It's by his power. But now we've been healed, so you know what we need to do? We need to walk like it. What did that man do when he got healed? He stood up, and now his ankles and his legs are strong, and what does he start doing? He starts walking. And not only does he start walking, he starts running and leaping. He says, "I'm a healed person. I need to walk. I need to run. I need to leap. I can do this now because I have been healed." The purpose of our salvation, the purpose of our healing is to get us walking. Guys, let me ask you this. Have you ever thought about what happened on day two? You know, for this guy's whole life, he's been begging at the gate. And people have been giving him money, and that's how he's been taken care of. And people have been carrying him from place to place. And he wakes up the next morning, and he realizes, as he's thinking, I'm about to go back and lay down at the gate. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go get a job. I got to go stand at the marketplace and see if I can get hired. I haven't worked a day in my life. I don't know if I like that. It might be, you know, it'd actually be a little bit easier if I just went back and laid down at the beautiful gate and begged for money. Now, here's my question to you. Did Jesus heal this man? Or excuse me, did Peter heal this man by the power of Jesus? So that the next day he could come back to the temple and lay down and beg alms and act like a lame person? No, of course not. That's lame. It took you a minute. You got it. Good job. No. He healed him so he could walk. Guys, Jesus has healed us so we can walk. This is the point. We need to walk like healed Christians. Remember what it said in Ephesians 2:10? God has recreated us. Why? Because there's these good works that he's created beforehand and he wants us to walk in them. And so we, having been healed by Jesus Christ, need to walk like healed Christians. John talks about this too in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 when he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. And then in chapter 2 and verse 6 he says, whoever says he abides in him or Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. The whole purpose behind the healing is get us walking. And now we've been healed, so what we need to do is rise up and walk. But we need to understand this, that when we walk, we need to give God the glory. When we walk, we need to give God the glory. Think about this fella. When he started walking, he went running and leaping and praising God. Did y'all catch that? He went walking and leaping and praising God. Now, why did he go praising God? Because here is a fella that for his entire life understood, I can't walk. And every step he took was a testimony to the powerful working of God in his life. Whether it was that first day, the second day, what did he know? I am walking today by the grace and power of God. What did he know on day three, on week two, on month two, 10 years from then? I don't know what this guy did, and I don't know, maybe he did forget it. Maybe he did forget to give God thanks and glory. I don't know. But we know that 10 years from that day of his healing, when he got up in the morning and he started walking, who should he thank for that? He should thank God for that. He wasn't walking that day because he had gotten so awesome at walking. He was walking that day because he had been healed by God in order to walk. And I need to understand that about my salvation. You see, I think that's a struggle that I have sometimes. I've been a Christian now for, I don't know, 30 years or something like that. And, you know, there are times when I begin to think, hey, look at how great I've become. I mean, there are other times when I'm reminded not so. But there are times when I think, man, look at things are so different. I'm so much better than I used to be. And I can start to think, see how good I've gotten at walking? I'm better than him at walking. I'm better than her at walking. Do you see the story of this man? Could he ever say, look at how great I am at walking. I'm so awesome at walking. No, he understands. I'm walking by the power of God. Guys, that's what we need to understand. Jesus has healed us to walk, and the reason we're walking and the reason we're getting better at walking is not because we're amazing, but because he is. And we need to give him the glory. Guys, we're here this morning to worship and praise God, and there's a whole lot of people that aren't. But do you understand that you being here this morning is not a testimony to how amazing we are, but a testimony to how amazing our Savior is? We need to give thanks to God that he has strengthened us and he's walking us. Yes, it's our faith-filled response. I know that. And without that, we wouldn't have the healing. But we need to understand. All this growing we're doing at walking is because of God. And we need to be giving him the glory. Let me show you. Remember what it said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1? Paul said, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. He says, look, you've been healed to walk, so get walking. But do you know what he said just before this? What he had said right before this in chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, he says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Goes on to say, be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, therefore, walk. Why should I be walking? Because I've been healed by God and his Spirit gives me the strength and the power to walk. He says, I am praying that the Spirit strengthen you in your inner being. Therefore, walk. He says, I am praying to this God who is able to do far more abundantly than all you can ask or think by his power working in you. Therefore, walk. Why can I obey Ephesians 4:1? Because God is doing Ephesians 3:14 through 20. That's why. And so when I walk, I don't bring my walking to God as if he should glorify me for how well I'm walking. I bring my walking to God as another reason to glorify him and to thank him. That's what I learned from that healed man. I tell you what. I need to learn to not atrophy. Because what would have happened if on day two that man had said, you know what, I don't think I like this so much. I mean, it was great yesterday when I was walking and leaping and praising God and everybody was patting me on the back and it was amazing. But now today I got to get to work. And walking can be hard sometimes. Walking can be tough, and I mean, if you're going to run, that's really hard for some of us. And if I walk, I got to go get a job, and I think I'd rather just go lay down. Do you know what would have happened if he had just decided to quit walking and just laid down? You know what happens when you do that? Your muscles atrophy, and you actually lose the healing. That's exactly what happens. That's why if you've broken your leg and they put you in a cast and you've been riding around on one of those things, what do they have to do, Ed? Physical therapy, right? Todd? Physical therapy. Why? Because those muscles quit working. They got to strengthen them back up. See, here's the thing you need to understand. If you don't get up and walk like a healed Christian, it will atrophy and you will lose that healing. It will be gone. This is what Peter said about that in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. If, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. I want you to understand what Peter is saying there. He's saying, metaphorically, you remember that guy I healed years ago? If he had turned around and gone back and laid down at the temple gate and started begging for alms again, that would be just like a dog returning to its vomit. And I just want you to think about how gross that is for just a second. Because what he's saying here is, look, the food made the dog sick the first time. Does he think it's going to be different the second time? But that's what dogs do, because dogs are dumb. This food made me sick, but there it is. I'm going to go back to it. Or a pig washing in the mire. He's been cleaned off. He looks about as good as a pig can look. But man, that mud was nice and warm and it was squishy and it was comfortable. I'm going to go right back to it. He says, that's what it would have been like. And he says, that's exactly what it's like when we who have been healed, instead of walking, decide to let go of God's hand and lay back down and live the way we were living before. And that's what people do. Because I get it, walking is hard. It's a tough thing. It's not always easy. It takes work. Sometimes it seemed easier to live in sin than it is to walk with the Lord. I get that. But it made us sick the first time. That's why we turned to the Lord to begin with. Do we think it's going to be different this time? So what he says, don't atrophy. Don't go back and lay down. Keep walking. But you know, the problem is, sometimes we fall down. Okay, quick poll. Anybody here ever fallen down? Look at that. Okay. Do you imagine that this fella, after he was healed, ever fell down? And I don't know, he's walking along and caught his toe and stumbles and trips, or maybe, you know, his knee goes out and he falls down. That happens. Somebody trips him, somebody pushes him, somebody thinks it's funny. Oh yeah, he was the guy who couldn't walk, so they trip him. Now, those kind of things happen. Now let me ask you this. Now that he's back laying on the ground, he spent his entire life laying on the ground. And now, for some strange reason, I mean, again, the first time he's fallen, he's not experienced this. He's wondering what's going on. He's laying on the ground. What do you think was the first thought that went through his mind? I mean, I don't know. But I think I know what would have been the first thought in my mind. The first thought in my mind would have been, I knew this was too good to last. You think a thought like that might run through someone's mind who's been healed and he falls down for the first time? He's laying there with his face in the dirt. And he says, you know, I knew this was too good to last. Because I know that's what happens when we stumble and fall. Satan starts whispering in our ear. See, I told you you couldn't do it. I told you you couldn't walk. I told you it was too good to be true. You might as well just stay down here on the ground. But guys, what should this man have done when he stumbled and fell? What should he have done? Whether he thought that or not, I don't really know about that fella. I'm thinking how what I would have thought. But whether he thought that or not, when he stumbled and fell and was in the dirt, what should he have done next? He should get back up. Why should he get back up? I'll tell you why. Because he's a healed man. That's why. Because he's a healed man. He's been healed by Jesus Christ. And so I get it. He stumbles and he falls. We all do. But when he stumbles and falls, rather than listening to that little voice that said, I knew this was too good to be true. I knew you couldn't handle it. I knew you couldn't walk for the rest of your life. What he needed to do was remind himself, I have been healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk like a healed Christian. And that's what we need to do. Because yes, sometimes we will stumble and fall. And Satan will whisper in our ears, you can't do it. And you know what we need to remind ourselves? I have been saved by the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk like it. I'm not going to stay down here in the dirt. Yes, I've fallen. Yes, I've stumbled. And yes, that was my fault. But I have been healed. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk like a healed Christian. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What Paul tells the Philippians is, guys, get walking. Get working. Why? Because God is working. You know, it's so sad to me. We get in these debates. And we get so scared that when we say that we're saved by grace, that what it means is I get saved and it doesn't matter how I live. In fact, we think that too often, if we actually teach saved by grace, that what it's going to do is cause everybody to say, oh good, I don't have to do anything. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, I'm saved by grace, so it really matters what I do. Paul said, I walk by grace, so you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk. And when I stumble and fall, this is what I need to remember. God is working on me. God is working in me. And so when I stumble and fall, I'm going to get up. I'm going to walk like a healed Christian. Because that's who I am. I'm a healed Christian. healed in the name of Jesus Christ, saved by His blood, cleansed of my sins, washed, redeemed, adopted, forgiven, reconciled. That's who I am. And yes, I stumble and fall. But I don't need to stay in the dirt. Because I have been healed, I can get up and walk like a healed Christian. What about you? That is being saved by the grace of God. That is a picture of God's saving grace. Isn't it amazing? If you'd like, you can put your notes away, get your Bibles, or get your songbooks out if you want to follow along with the song there. The lyrics will be up on the screen behind me. Here's the thing. If you're not a disciple of Jesus, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, if you have not repented and confessed your faith in Jesus and been immersed in water for the remission of those sins and raised to walk in newness of life, you are not a healed Christian. And when you fall on the dirt, that's because you're just in the dirt. When you try really hard and you're doing really good for a little while and then you stumble and fall, the reason you're doing that is because that's who you are. You're that person. But Jesus died on the cross to take you away from that, to overcome that, to heal you, to make you a walker. Don't think that you're going to get your walk right and then you can turn to Jesus. Come to Jesus so that He can get your walk right. He is reaching out. Peter reached down His hand. God reached down Himself and came into this world. He said, I'm coming. I'm coming to take you by the hand and lift you up. Will you grab His hand? Will you die with Him in baptism so that you can be raised up to be a walker, to walk in new life? And yes, you will stumble and yes, you will fall, but you'll be healed and you can get back up by the power of Jesus Christ. And we'll be here to help you. That's what we do. We help each other. You can make that step today. I'm asking you right now, we're going to sing this song. I'm asking you to reach your hand up and take the hand of the Lord. And the way you can do that this morning, your next step, is out into that aisle and walking down while we're singing. If we can help you with that this morning, won't you please take that step right now as we stand and sing.